set up Zoom because they don't show the slides on Zoom. Well, good morning. I think our technology is reasonably ready to fail on me, so we'll jump into this a little bit. For those of you who are on joining us on Zoom this morning, just wanted to mention that I'm going to try to share screen, and if you'd like to see me talking, which I don't know if you need to, if you go to the speaker view, then you can split the screen and see that. And there'll be one point in this morning that I will shut off that share option because there's some sensitive things potentially that I don't want recorded or seen beyond the room. So good to see everybody. It is Memorial Day, as I was thinking about this week, and we've been walking through the Trinity and the theology that flows from the Trinity and the practical philosophy that flows from the Trinity and the doctrine that flows from the Trinity. And we had originally scheduled, John Meyer was going to teach a little bit on gender specifically that's found in Genesis 1-2. And he ended up getting needed to remain down in El Paso, which we'll share a little bit more about that as we go through this. There's a number of things, by the way, that Nathan talked about during the announcements I hope to expand on a little bit. But as I thought about this weekend, and even as Paul was saying, he was reiterating, we've got this life, and it soon will pass. Well, you know what else is going to soon pass? It's the summer of 2021. And most of us will be very unintentional about how we spend the next 90 days or so. And since today is the unofficial, we all know it's not the summer solstice, but it's the unofficial start of summer. And as I was thinking about trying to really expand out a couple more ideas on the Trinity, we're coming to kind of the end of that, and gender was going to be one of the later ones. And as I started looking at it and trying to build a message, I just said, well, we should talk about this, and we should talk about this, and we should talk about this, because there's so many things that are coming up that could impact your life significantly, could impact our neighbors, our city, and really the world. That, wow, it would be so good to just have kind of a family meeting about the amazing ways that we can be impacted and we can impact the world that we live in. Those one ideas of being the people of God in front of others. And so as you think about the summer, what do you see before you? When you hear about the opportunities, do you hear, that sounds interesting? Oh no, this is God's will. This is what I need to do. This is for me. When we think about being Christians in America, most of us, it's not your fault. I'm not saying you're evil or mean-spirited. Most of you treat it like a consumer. It's just the way we're trained in American Christianity. Here's our options. Here's our smorgasbord of things that you can, even in kinds of churches and doctrines and music styles and how you dress on Sunday and the church government and all those things, they lay out before you as this vast array of choices. You go, what do I like? Rather than, what is God doing? And where should I be to best obey him? To best use my life? That at the end of it, I will be glad how I participated in the way he made me, the opportunities to change the world. And so this summer is just a small piece of that, but it could be pretty profound. If you choose to engage in some things that maybe you haven't before, you may learn new skills. You may discover gifts you didn't know you had. You may meet lifelong friends. You may change somebody's life forever, for eternity. Or we can go, well, lazy, hazy days of summer, let's all chill and entertain ourselves and be good consumers. Again, it's not a condemnation. It's just the way, it's the soup we swim in. If we're going to do something other than think as a consumer, we have to be intentional. We have to say, what do I want to be strategic about? And for those of you that maybe guests this morning, I just want to just allow you to either get to know us a little bit, see if there's maybe similar things wherever you're from, whatever you're doing. How do you want to invest your summer? This is not a loss because it's some of the things we're specifically doing. Things like this are happening all over the world. And a number of things you may be stimulated to try. So while this is not intended to be funny, because it was such a potpourri, I kind of designed this Jeopardy board of topics that And this is kind of all over the map, kind of how we're going to do this. And some of these are really heavy. So I hope we can, in the joy of the Lord, also allow ourselves to grieve or to be moved to care about hard things that are going on. But anyway, I wanted to leave it up to some of you guys. Some of these are opportunities we're doing. Some of these are just like little updates. Some are opportunities for you to engage personally with giving or faith or action. So I wanted to just kind of throw that out there. So somebody pick a topic.
Flat Earth Society for 100.
Okay. All right. So because this is random, I have to open up my slideshow and find that section a little bit here. I know it's on here. Okay. All right. The point in this is that we live in an age when people get to determine what's true and define what's true for themselves. This is just an example. The Flat Earth Society folks are just some that are out there, and they're really out there, and they're really many are very bright people. But they've made the decision that the whole world is a conspiracy, and they haven't practiced, in my opinion, this is just my assessment. Maybe they're right. It could be all a conspiracy, and so I'm not condemning. I'm just saying this is where you go with a few habits. And as we're living in a culture, if we're living in a world that is quick to find conspiracy, quick to find someone that's against everyone else, that wants to line up and see everyone else as the enemy and trying to deceive or take away, this is a good metaphor. And this is how this starts. The first thing is when we take a little bit of information and we extrapolate it out to be all the information. When we decide what truth we're going to put at the very top of the heap, and this can be any number of things. And so just so you know, there's a few verses. Part of this is rooted in church history. Part of this particular flat earth kind of conviction is rooted in church history. Because when some of the scientists and Galileo and different ones, like Copernicus, and they were doing all the study of the stars and really trying to map things out what was actually created, the church was very hostile. The existing church at that time, the dominant church in Rome, and maybe I don't know what years those were, so I don't know if it was after or before, after the Great Schism, when a lot of the celestial stuff. I didn't do the research to clarify that, but the traditional church would say, no, you can't do that. Because they had a philosophy was their first lens. And it was rooted on just a few ideas, a few verses that said, okay, so this defines everything else. And did not really acknowledge kind of the different genres of literature in the Bible, which would be poetic. So Ecclesiastes 1:5, the sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. So that would say, okay, so clearly the sun is moving, the earth isn't. And they made that this very dominant theological premise, okay? And that's forget that Ecclesiastes is a poetic book. That's becomes a really firm foundation. When the earth totters and all that happens, it is I who keep steady its pillars. It doesn't move. The earth will never move. Again, you can see the difference between a literal, physical declaration that the earth will never move and the steadfastness of God to keep things. So, and they make those really strong statements. Here's what you need to know. You can do that too. You can pick a thing, a verse, you can pick a lens, you can pick a doctrine, you can pick an attribute of God and say, this is the center of it. This is the center of it. Do you need an umbrella out there, Lauren?
Probably.
It's coming pretty good? Okay. Okay. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. So you have this imagery of something being very flat and linear. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. This is what you see in their literature. These are see? So it has to be flat. And the Bible is accurate and inerrant, so this has to be true. And they would elevate these to say, this is the most significant. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. So evidently, according to this verse, there's some mountain that's high enough where you can see everything on the flat earth. That's the interpretation. Now, I'm not trying to condemn or make fun. I'm just saying, okay, how can we bring wisdom? How can we listen? How can we work together to determine these things? And I went out and this is kind of what they would see. Why am I connecting? Did I go off Zoom? Okay. So this is kind of the diagram that somehow it's all flat. There's a big ice wall all the way around the edge of it, and then the sun and the moon kind of go around like a mobile. And so parts don't actually get the sun or the moon, and that's the working model. And there's lots of conspiracy, obviously, if this is going to work. If this is going to be true, there's got to be a whole bunch of people that are on a great big con, and then a whole bunch of people who are being conned. But you can do it. You can let yourself move to this place of rigid thinking, rather than remaining pliable. Here'd be another. Stop it. Here would be another kind of diagram similar to it, but you see them going a little bit better. Okay? So if we're not going to fall into the danger of thinking like a flat earther, not becoming a flat earther, but the same kind of thinking is you have to know your lenses. And that can be where your truth comes from. We can be, I only listen to CNN or I only listen to Fox News. And we go, they're the ones that are telling the truth. No, they're not. They're all trying to make money. Okay? Don't be naive. News is not virtuous. News is about making money. Are there virtuous people that want you to know the truth? Absolutely. Large corporations that deliver news, if they're not making money, they ain't going to do it. Own it. Be aware of your lenses. Read the micro, see the macro. Pay attention to the words. Pay attention to those verses. But don't form a doctrine based on micro understanding of small ideas. We have to take all of those small ideas and create a picture that flows out of the story of God. Third thing is be in community. Don't let yourself go drifting off. Go, look, wow, this is this deep rabbit hole of whatever it might be. And it could be anywhere on the political spectrum, anywhere on the science, religion, theology, philosophy spectrum. You can go in a whole, any direction and be an heir. One of the safeguards God has given us is each other. Here, this is what I'm reading. What do you think of this? Test me. Push back on this and not be trapped in that. The last one is you don't know what you don't know. Things are still being understood. There are cultural standards and expectations and attitudes that impact you, and you don't even know they impact you. It's just because you're a part of the culture. And when you think about this idea of, I'm just real briefly going to go to the idea of gender complementarianism. And you think, well, what was the good old days? When was the good old days? When did humanity have it right? I go, not yet ever. And we can look back at the 1950s and go, well, it sure seemed to be a lot healthier. Really? Do you ever see this ad from the 1950s? Anybody want to go back where women are treated like that? Where that's a good joke? Where that's appropriate? You think that's what masculinity and femininity is designed by God to represent? That's awful. It's never been. We're still striving for this place. And just so you don't know what you don't know, some of the old cigarette commercials are so great. Doctors recommend smoking these. They've smoked these themselves. They go like, clearly, they didn't have the information and the science to go, and it will kill you, or at least stress your lungs to the degree that something else will kill you more easily. And we can lose it, and we can be so confident that we have the truth, and we just don't. We have to maintain this attitude of humility, and that'll keep us from drifting off, okay? So that's the idea. Remember, if you go back to be aware of your lenses, read the micro, study deeply the little things, but let it form a picture that's bigger than just that small thing. Yeah, I mean.
On a lens, in the natural health world, yep. I'm in this world a lot. And so one yep. of the things I really have found has been helpful is who is made out to be the hero
yep.
in whatever you're reading.
Yep.
So there's some really wacky things that natural health people are in. But when it gets really odd or weird, it's like, well, Satan would love to write a story about how powerful and strong, you know, and so that really helps me to see when there's a lot of mesh and muddle and what don't we know, and maybe this is new, and, you know, being flexible, you can also be too flexible. Like, it's a,
exactly.
It's a hard thing, but that's one of the clarifying things. I'll step back and go, okay, who's the hero? Am I the hero? Is Satan the hero, or is God the hero? Who's powerful, who's sovereign? And that really helps when you get, if you happen to be deep in, that really helps to clarify when it's really muddled.
Yeah, and I think another thing to go along with that is just, what's my emotional state? Am I peaceful? Am I resting in God's sovereignty and his ability to unravel the mess and to take, you know, reconcile all things to himself? Or am I feeling compelled to somehow pick up some weapon, whether sword or words, and defend God or defend what's true? That is another indicator maybe that we're not seeing it all correctly. So it's good. All right. Okay. Theoretically, these should go a different order. It's not that kind of game. I get 100 points. All right. Nathan sent this out a little while. The Gospel Coalition. I wouldn't agree with everything they emphasize theologically, but they tend to be pretty reasonable in how they approach things. I can agree with their process. I don't always agree with their conclusions, and they've got a great article. We'll probably put this out in the newsletter this week. If you want to read this article, I think it's pretty well written on complementarism in general. Because we think of complementarism, we only think male and female gender. I don't want to go too deep into that because one of the things I got from this article that I thought was really helpful, and I want to read through and see if we can see this together. And I've said this many times. Everything that God created is telling us something. And virtually everything God created is in some form of interdependent relationship. There is nothing that is declared greater than or less than, even though there are very different roles. So the nature of all that God made, everything was either good or very good. Okay, so there's not a hierarchy of value, of nature. But in role, there are certain things that are complementary. Everybody doesn't have the same role. So I real briefly want to just zip through the creation of the world here. Beginning in verse 1. And I'm not going to read it word for word. I'm going to pick out little highlights. Genesis chapter 1, we do see the Trinity in the Spirit hovering and the Word being spoken and God being present. So we see all three persons of the Godhead there. The earth was out without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Okay? So that's the condition of things. And God's first part, the first thing he starts doing is creating distinction. Okay, so right now you have this kind of muddled mess of whatever it was. It was all just kind of together, formless, void, nothing really happening, nothing distinct, nothing seen, nothing clear. And his first order of creation, and this is where the complementarianism begins at this very moment, he starts to create distinction that complements. And then he says there's light, and light is separated from the darkness, and they each have their role, right? I mean, the night is for resting. The night is for recharging. And the whole of creation typically walks in that cycle of plants close down, and they rest, and photosynthesis stops, and then the sun comes back out, and they start again. And so right away, you see these two distinct things, and sometimes there's more than two, but at least two things that are distinct that complement each other. Does that make sense? So his nature, the complementarian nature of God, is being revealed right out of the gate. And did he say one is greater? No. He said the sun is greater because it has more power, but not because it in its nature is greater or of higher value. It's just greater because it puts out all the heat and light, and the moon responds to it. The moon reflects it, which nobody knew when he said this. But God said, no, this is the greater part. This is the image being reflected in the moon. Does that sound familiar? God is so creative. See, look, this is all designed to be this cooperative, interdependent system. And then he goes through the morning and the day. And then it expands in the middle of the waters and let it separate from the waters. And this is when the heavens, there's some that are calling it a vault. A new NIV in a number of translations are starting to call this word expanse a vault, this place where certain things are kept. That's the idea of it. And what's kept there? Well, atmospheric things are kept in this expanse. Water is stored in the air in one form and on the ground in another form. All designed to go. How does the water get up to the top part? This part evaporates and goes up. How does the water get back down? It falls from, and this nurturing each other of these two vaults. It's just crazy how much God has put this. Everything is designed to work together to bring good to the other. Be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. God called the dry land earth and the waters he called the seas. And so he says, what's he creating? Distinction. They're separate. Well, what's going to happen in that? Well, lots of things happen in that, and we're going to see in just a minute. Most of it's creation related. And then he starts to produce vegetation. Why is that? He's creating distinction. Vegetables are not the same as animals. At this point, for a lot of different reasons, one bears seed and produces after its kind, and it's for our food, and animals at this point are not. There's a distinction. They're separate. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse. He creates the heavens. And all of those things are to rule and to demonstrate and to count time and to declare things about God. Verse 20, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of heavens. And so God is creating these distinctions. And they're all important, and they're all good, and they're all part of what he said they should be. So a fish cannot declare, I want to be a bird. And a bird cannot declare, I want to be a swimming creature in the sea. It's all saying, look, I'm going to make you, I'm going to put a design intention into you so that you can be what I want you to be. Okay? And God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, kind after kind, kind after kind. Limitations. All designed to work together to create what we understand as nature. You don't get to recreate with something that is not your kind. You can't decide that. It will not work. And so God's nature is all being revealed in this complementary idea. I'm going to jump to this one. Here's all the complementarians, not all of them, and a few examples. The triune God is a complementarian system. The human family, government, church, creation, the natural order of animals and plants, all of those things are all complementarian systems. God's nature is revealed in all of those things. And he asks us to just cooperate with the way he made us. And most of creation does, except when it's broken or there's a... mutation or, you know, something that's clearly not healthy, then it doesn't, but that's the way it goes. And so here we go. This is the conclusion of this complementary nature and how dangerous it is that our culture, and if we don't embrace this idea, no, God's picture is more important than what I want or what I feel or anything else. God's picture that he's creating, because it reveals who he is, and he is the only one that can save this mess we are in. Now, the rest of the world does not understand that, and I'm okay with that for now. I want to push against that, but I'm not judging them for not believing it. But we have what will save the world. And we have the only thing that will eventually save the world, and that is people getting right with the Son of God, with the Father through the Son of God. And if we don't get right by actually acknowledging who he is and his right to be God, and that we are sinners and we need a Savior, if those kind of truths don't get settled, then this is where we go. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. This is why these things are important. When we say, no, God's not complimentary. No, God has no hierarchy. No. God, we can be whatever we want. We've just squashed the truth. We've just squashed the truth. And that's a bad thing. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Where did he show it to them? All those systems. All those systems. He's shown what he wants. Care, connection, interdependence, and cooperating with who he says we are and what he says we are. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made so that they are without excuse. And this is the part that frightens me, because this seems to be people who are at least God-fearing. You remember the divisions? It seems to be people who actually are willing to acknowledge there is a God. Doesn't seem to be speaking to the fool who says there is no God. This seems to be the person that says, yeah, there's probably a higher power. There's probably a force. There's probably something out there. And then warrant this great warning. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And what do we celebrate here? What do we celebrate? What's our where is our culture? There's a battleground here. Again, it's not our job to condemn. It's to seek and to save. It's to believe so strongly that God, Jesus is the only way, and to shout it. No, you don't understand. He's awesome. And we're in danger. And he has answers for all of life. That's our job. That's why complementarianism is so important. Another 100 in the bank. What else?
Do good to the household.
Okay. Just a few things. Want to be. Where did that go? Uh-oh.
If you can't find it, do I win?
Yes. Yes, you can have my point. I win. Okay, just a few things to be aware of as you plan your summer to maybe make a little room. There are a few projects around here. The building needs, just the grounds. We are having a cool wet year, which means we have to pay more weed tax by pulling and scraping. We want to get the train embedded. This carpet, which was planned, design life less, what was that, 3 years? It's been 10 now. So you can see it's starting. What's that?
Third lifespan,
yes. It's in its third half-life. And we'll probably need to change the sign now since the fires have been over for a year. So there's just a lot of little detail things that we would love people to be engaged with and open to. And let's not forget the roof, which is appropriately being demonstrated. We do have a need for a new roof, and we've known that. We've been patching along. Travis has been really good about limping it along. But that's about probably an $80,000 to $90,000 fix. That was old stuff. So just things to be praying for. Dreaming about, obviously they're just physical things, but we at some point are going to need to take care of them. Family needs. There's all kinds of things going on in our midst of just prayer and care and support. To just be mindful. Do you have a rhythm where you think through your small group or the body and just be interceding, letting God know? Do you have any kind of plan as you're walking, as you're exercising, as you're going about your day, to just have people on your mind, to pray for them and be open to meet needs as they come up? There's a few extended family needs. M28, we're in a process, and it's a lot of you are involved with that in the areas of transformational prayer, relational care training. There's a number of things that we're doing that we're having expanded opportunities to bring some of those tools into the larger body. I'm going to be teaching a class down in, we're going to walk through some variation of the skills class down in Parker. Nathan's involved with some couples scattered around. There's just things going on to just understand, even if you don't get to hear about them, those things are happening. And in some cases, people are going from the edge of really dangerous, dark, permanent things into a much better place. Sometimes that's a really long battle. But it's really, really important. And it's a part of how we bring grace. We bring the kingdom. And to be praying, please, for all those things that are happening. But also just continue to consider being involved as those opportunities come up to be involved with transformational prayer with people. Way more people want to meet than we have time to. We have to create more trainers. The organization formerly known as GCC, we had a prayer gathering in Omaha last week. Just really good. It's just such a good partnership. I don't think we'll ever be organizationally connected in the future, but it is really good to think about partnering and to knowing what's going on and really sharing those values with brothers and sisters around the world. And mostly in this country, but they're scattered all over. And so it's just really good. Those of you who knew that was going on and prayed, I thank you for it. El Paso, I don't know if most of you probably heard this, a young woman that Marty and Jen Howell, their youngest daughter, committed suicide last week. And it's a big deal. It's impacted a lot of M28, and we're involved relationally at a few different levels. So just continue to be praying for that. And then some more connect opportunities with actually doing some training with some of the pastors and leaders from other churches. We're doing a Tuesday, how do you actually teach this kind of thing. So that's kind of some opportunities to do good to the household. You're not taking notes. And those things, you should be taking notes. No more? Okay. Am I sharing my screen? Okay, thank you. A couple things that are going on. I would just love for us, Nathan had this idea, I think it's really, really good, as we're starting to feel the capacity to breathe a little bit with COVID restrictions being lessened and feeling a little more normal. I leave the house without even a mask in my pocket, you know, just as an emergency. It's just starting to feel very different, and I don't know if it feels light and happy and jubilant yet, but certainly not as oppressive as it has over the last few months and last year. That is not true around the rest of the world. In fact, Ryan and Lindsay they're leaving where they're serving because it's getting constricted again, so they're going to come to the U.S. for 6 months. They'd really hope to weather the whole thing out, but it's just they can't even go outside and walk anymore. So it's getting really like you have to stay in your house. And they've got 4 kids. That's not probably going to be viable. And in especially the places I'm aware of that may be way more than this, but what was on our heart, Nathan's heart, as we talked about this, was this idea of thinking about, even though it's getting good for us and we should rightly celebrate that and be grateful, is it an opportunity for us to do good to those who aren't yet in that place? Most of us were not all that significantly impacted. Some of you may have been, but most of us, even if we had it, it was not. God has been very gracious to us. Most of us don't need the government checks. Most of us have not needed most of the things that have been offered in terms of rent relief or, you know, all the benefit. Most of us have not. If you've had, that's wonderful. I'm glad it was available to you. But most of us haven't needed those things. And it is really dark and hard right now in India and Nepal because people are dying by the tens of thousands. My guess is that because of air quality and general nutrition, the whole population of many of those cities is just in a much more weakened state than our culture would be. It's very, very common that Delhi would be the worst California ever was in terms of air quality. It's like that every day. It just goes up from there. The worst day is their best day until it's shut down, and then you can actually see the mountains. But the sky is green. You remember that green-yellow look that when the fires were here? It's like that every day there, just pollution. So I'm sure they're very compromised. And one of our contacts, please don't relay this anywhere. This is a church. It's how they're having services. I don't know, you can see all those little tags where the church is out burying people that have died in their circle. This is them having a little funeral service. It's impacting them the church there. And amazing thing to me was we sent some resources for food for the church a year ago. And the stories came back as mostly they shared it with their neighbors. They would be able to share the gospel and demonstrate the love of Christ to them. can we find it in our heart to make an investment here? I've let a couple guys know. We're just going to take up an offering. This is the story. I'll read it quick. Many of us are mourning with our brothers and sisters as we endure the loss of loved ones. And this, the description is, he is no more, she is no more. That's how they're kind of letting each other know that another friend, another believer in their body has passed. Every week a funeral, like the one shown above, one of my best friends texts me that a Himalayan hiking buddy of ours is no more. We lost contact with a very close friend for 2 weeks as he and his family struggled through COVID. Only after he made it through, his sister-in-law then passed. Then talking with someone, 17 people in part of his network are no more and 10 on his block. It has been a sobering time. Tens of thousands are dying daily across the country. I ask them how their heart is doing and how do they cope with all the no mores. They said, all we can do is gather together and praise our God. Nightly we gather to sing and encourage one another. It reminds me of 1 Peter 1:7. As I watch the tested genuineness of these brothers and sisters' faith, is found a result in praise and glory and honor to Jesus. It has been a lesson to me as I mourn with those who mourn. So that's the reality that's not here. Tons and tons of needs, probably the medical ones we can't do anything about, but they haven't been working. The economy is just ravaged, and they are very hungry. Just like to take up an offering, you can make that to your normal portals. If you want to drop extra checks in the box today, just put it, Central Asia or India, Nepal, whatever relief, and we'll pass it along to. We've got several opportunities we can go through, but it'll all just go directly to helping the church in other parts of the world that are not getting stimulus checks, not getting the governments and the societies don't take care of the people. And it's pretty desperate. So Jesus will see it and be pleased as we care for his people. So okay. Okay, this just maybe a fairly quick one. I've been following Jesus for, I think, 40-ish years now, somewhere around there. Maybe not quite, maybe 39. First meeting I ever went to is kind of a gathering of the church in a city. Some of the brothers and sisters from more of a charismatic bent, almost every time we would gather, someone, it's what sounded prophetic, sounded like there was a prophetic, well, this guy had a vision. The Holy Spirit is coming to town, and we need to get ready. Something amazing is going to happen. Something really, really powerful is going to happen, and we just need to be ready. And that's been a message virtually every time I've gotten together in that mixed crowd for 40 years. Now, my challenge with that is I've not seen that happen yet. I believe the Holy Spirit is always coming to town. I think the Holy Spirit is always doing what the Holy Spirit is doing. I think God does, through his Spirit, come and do unique things in unique places. It just hasn't happened where I am yet. Makes me question our ability to actually know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. So many people think he says this, but he didn't really say that. Then I think we need to just be careful. But there's enough people in Loveland and along the Front Range that are going, the Holy Spirit is coming to town. Is coming to the Northern Colorado. I go, okay, well, this is way more often and way louder than I normally hear, and I don't want to miss it. If he's coming, I want to be at the front. I want to be in the front row of the parade crowd. Okay, I want to see him come, and I want to cooperate. A couple things are going on that God seems to be moving. One was some of the gospel church planting movement stuff. I think there are things, cooperative things going on. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know if it'll be up and where everybody can see it, but I just want to make sure we're not going, no, he won't. I believe he is. Is he going to come the way you think? I don't know. I want to be cooperating with whatever the Spirit is trying to do. And this Jeremiah 29:7. Everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you to prosper you, right? Well, it's in this context. They're in exile. Okay? That's the good plan that God has for them, is to have them flourish in exile away from their homeland. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. And there's just a couple ideas that are floating around that I think God may ask us to step into at some point, maybe right away, it may be already on your heart, just to be aware. Seeking the welfare of the city, there's this language, and it's not about, I don't think, if it is, I'm again it, it's not about taking over something, it's about bringing blessing to. It's bringing kingdom value, kingdom love, kingdom service, kingdom care, kingdom covering to these areas. And there's seven hills of culture. I think that's the language they use. But government, family, art, entertainment, arts, entertainment, education, business, church, and then science and healthcare. Obviously, with the Freemans coming, I don't know, is it 20 years now? How long ago did you guys come? 18 years ago? That was really their vision, is to bring the kingdom into the arts community here. And they've been working in that a long time. Some of you are involved with other areas. And this is not about dominance or bringing, you know, making something Christian. It is granting access to the kingdom in these various areas and being people who pray for and care. We need all those things in a functioning city. We need them all to function well and in the best interests of the city. And so we can play a part in a number of ways: prayer, care, service, building relationship. I don't think any one person should do all those things, but many of us may have some special affinity to be praying for government or the police force or the city council or the business community or whatever it might be. Are we thinking about our city being impacted by the kingdom's presence, and are we willing to speak that and pray that? So it's just an opportunity. It's just an opportunity, and as you hear those opportunities to pray together, worship together, there's a house of prayer coming. There's two or three guys that came to town because they had a vision that God was going to do something here. There are some really fun relationships being formed. Perspectives is a part of that. I mean, there's just good things happening. And I don't know if there's ever been an awakening of the church in the Front Range of Colorado. The Colorado Springs had a bit of a transformation as lots of Christian organizations came there. But overall, I don't know if the Front Range has ever been impacted, this region. And so let's just be looking for that, waiting for that, hoping that God does that. But those would be some opportunities to be praying, listening for when you hear those things. Oh, maybe God would want me to be at that worship time or to be a part of a prayer team that prays for our schools and the students and the teachers in the school system. So, okay, probably have time for one more. Yeah, let me do that. Yeah, let's do this one. This just be a summer thing to start thinking about. Okay. And I know this is how we think as Americans, but there's a few things that we would consider core pieces of being a disciple. Okay, that if we have an obligation, what God asked the church to be, and if you're a part of the church, you participate in this obedience. Okay, God did not command you to come sit in an auditorium and listen to somebody talk. That was not commanded you. You have been commanded to go and make disciples, who make disciples, and to teach them things. And some of what we teach disciples is what it means to be a disciple. And in our context, there's a few things that we consider core understanding of what it means to be a disciple. Certainly, it's how we relate to God with our LTGs, to become like God, to spend time with God, and to speak for God in his kingdom. But as we think about core competencies, we really would hold up relational theology, relational understanding, our capacity to actually know and be known with one another and care for each other. That's just not going to be optional in our circle. We're going to keep pressing on that as a critical piece of how we are called to be one as the Father and the Son are one. It's core to what it means to be disciples and how we live it out, our relational acumen and understanding. The other would be what's on God's heart, being for God. That's the idea of perspectives and seeing God's global vision for the world. We're not here to build our own kingdoms. We're here to build his kingdom. And in that, there are these applications of how are we going to do that? What's our role? Not everybody is commanded to go to another country, but everybody is commanded to be a part of that process. And so when we do things like senders, we have historically, over the last few years, really identified that mostly what we do is we try to send well. And we send by sending some of our own. some of our children and friends have gone or are going. But we also come alongside those who are already have already been gone. They're in a process through a different organization. We come alongside. Okay? So these things, please put that senders you down. This is a critical piece of your understanding. It doesn't mean you're going to do anything, but it is really important to understand what does it mean to send well. Okay? That is critically important. Just like we're all responsible to have a gospel-sharing tool and a strategy for reaching out to our oikos, whatever that is, we are responsible to do that. And so we give you them. We train. We show you how you can do that. Don't have to use it, but you have to get trained. You have to walk as a disciple. And so being understanding how to send well and how important that is to God's process for reaching the world, I spend an awful lot of time, and I'm grateful that you've granted me freedom to do this, with people who've been sent not so well and trying to get them back to a place where they're feeling supported and cared for, giving them tools that allow them to flourish. And by and large, they embrace them and they use them and they move forward in a healthier pattern. How about if we sent them better? How about if we just had better structures to start with? Brian Halley have done a great job of trying to build a good system. Garrett, most of you know Garrett. He did a great job of building a whole system of support for himself and for Christina. But this is important information. Please don't blow that off. There's going to be visiting missionaries coming in over the summer to spend time with us or to recreate or do whatever. To get some time, build friendship, let them know you care about them, hear their story. There are a few going opportunities. If you don't have a strategy, so in our culture, finding people out and about and meeting new people and engaging with the city is really hard when it's 20 degrees and gets dark at 4:30. Okay? Summer is the harvest season in our culture. This is where we meet people. This is where we build friendships. This is where we go out and are visiting and being around people. The idea of prayer walking, we must understand this. God always uses prayer to precede movements of salvation. We're not going to skip to the next slick thing. Hey, let's have a party and invite everyone. Without prayer, laying the foundation, that never works. Somebody has invested huge amount of time and energy and faith capital in praying for something before it happens. That's a fact. So this is not an optional thing for us. If we care about our city, if we want to make a difference, this is not scary. This is simply saying, where is the harvest, Lord? Where is the harvest? And I'm gonna combine this, the people of peace one. Luke 10:02 prayer. Will you commit? Jesus, Lord, grant us labors. Can I think how you, can I walk in the training you give us, Jesus, to care about those who do not yet know Jesus, to participate in prayer walking, and to understand that if we are not willing to pray, we are not going to see things happen. We're just not. So I don't know how that impacts you. That irritates me. I like to see movement. I like to see the king. I'd like to see the kingdom come. I would really like to see that. I'd like to see the Holy Spirit come to town, but it won't happen without prayer. And so, thinking about people of peace, set your alarm on your phone. Easiest thing you'll ever do. You don't even have to do it every day. Sometimes you just dim it, but it just reminds. Oh yeah, yeah. I am a witness. I'm an ambassador. I am one who's commanded to beseech the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. And then jump in. If you don't want a prayer walk in those two time slots, We'll find tools, we'll find resources, do it wherever, whenever, however. Don't care. Will you pray? Will you spend the summer to recognize all of your neighbors are going to be out more? You're going to have an opportunity to listen, to care, to pray, to invite to things, to just build friendships in your neighborhood, make your neighborhood more connected. So those would be the final things, just as you're thinking about the summer, that you, 90 days from now, those are some things you can put your energy into and go, okay, no, I invested these days. I invested some time and some talent and some treasure that the kingdom could come more fully. That the summer of 2021, you'd look back and go, okay, I made some good investments. Made some good investments. The whole world isn't going to change, but we can make some progress. And so let me just pray for all these things. Lord, we are so grateful for the opportunity to participate with you. I believe you do want to work, do a work in Northern Colorado. I know you have your times and your means and your lots of things going on that you're in charge of. And we trust you for that. But Lord, we want to be praying. We want to be praying. We want to be believing you. We want to be have our eyes open to what it is you're doing, Lord, both here in Northern Colorado and to also just to care about those who are suffering around the world that are also your children. Lord, may we have hearts that count your people as precious and be willing to invest time and energy, money, whatever it takes to bring good to the household of God. So help us, Lord. Be sober about this summer. In Jesus' name.